And now, here is Alan Weeder to review a book about one family's life in the weather underground.
Today I'm going to review A Radical Line, From the Labor Movement to the Weather Underground, One Family's Century of Conscience. And let me say, it's a retro review. Reading Neil Gordon's novel and then viewing Robert Redford's film, The Company You Keep, a fictitious portrayal of the Weather Underground organization, led me to reread Ty Jones' book on his family, his mom and dad, WUO people, Eleanor Stein and Jeff Jones, as well as their parents, Albert Jones, a Quaker and Second World War conscientious objector, and Annie and Arthur Stein, labor movement people, and both members of the Communist Party. While I actually liked Redford's film and the book even more, A Radical Line is much more encompassing as it portrays generations and real lives in the continuing struggle for a democratic socialist America. I had no intentions of writing a review as I began to reread A Radical Line. The story, though, is so engrossing, and Ty Jones' combination of detail, thoughtfulness, and drama pull you in as words bring depth to his extended family as well as collective progressive struggle in the United States. Jones's craft as a writer combined with depth of story are poignant in the first two pages of the book as he describes his parents' arrest through reflections of his own memories of the event as a four-year-old child. Throughout A Radical Line, the progressive fights of Ty Jones's extended families, Weather Underground and earlier, are connected to the collective struggle against class disparity, racism, and the Vietnam War. Jeff Jones was raised in Southern California, and as already noted, his father was a pacifist. Albert Jones' experience working as a conscientious objector at Civilian Public Service Camp No. 37 is itself a story. His path was not easy, as his father disapproved and church people at the Methodist congregation that nurtured his views abandoned him. Camp No. 37 became home. Jeff Jones' early lessons were pacifism and peace, not a long leap to the civil rights movement and opposing the war in Vietnam. Eleanor Stein's parents were much more political. Annie was introduced to socialism in high school and was politicized even further as a student at Hunter College. Ty Jones describes her early participation in the National Student League and the Communist Party. It was Annie who politicized Arthur. Initially, she was disheartened because her husband was apolitical, but she began leaving copies of the Daily Worker out at their apartment, and soon Arthur was attending meetings and demonstrations. Like Albert Jones's lifelong commitment to nonviolence, Annie and Arthur Stein never stopped fighting class disparity and racism. Ty Jones is much more descriptive of their lives than I can be in this short review. He quotes Albert's assertion to Jeff before the days of rage, quote, "Son, I believe very strongly in your goals, but if you set out to hurt somebody, I would hope and pray that you are hurt first." Concurrently, Eleanor was clearly nurtured by Annie's work in education and the civil rights movement. She was also nurtured by her father's labor activism, his founding of the Fair Play for Cuba Committee chapter in Brooklyn, and his appearance before the House Un-American Activities Committee, where he was represented by Victor Rabinowitz, the attorney who also represented Paul Robeson and Pete Seeger. The heart of A Radical Line, however, is Jeff and Eleanor's lives in SDS and the Weather Underground, and their coming together as a couple. There are rich photographs in the center of the book, especially one of Eleanor wearing her lamb's wool jacket with a raised fist in front of Columbia University Law School. Most endearing is a page with portraits of both Ty as a very young child and Jeff in running gear. We learn about Eleanor quitting law school after participating in the Columbia University student takeover in 1968 and of Jeff joining SDS while a student at Antioch. There are other events that have been written about Weather Underground by Mark Rudd, Kathy Wilkerson, Bill Ayers, and others, but Ty Jones presents a different take, new insights, and of course, issues that still leave us with questions about the Weather Underground and the struggle in general. We learn a great deal about life underground, but for the purpose of this review, I would like to address one particular issue. It begins in early 1969 when Eleanor was part of a delegation that went to Cuba to meet with representatives of the National Liberation Front and the North Vietnamese government. Others on the trip included Bernadine Dorn and Diana Auten. The North Vietnamese had invited Eleanor and her comrades so that they could interact and learn how the anti-war movement in the United States might help to end the war. One of the first lessons was on the lack of focus of American activism. The teacher pointed out that day that anti-war slogans and chants, "No more Vietnams" versus "Too three many Vietnams," "No more wars" versus "Bring the war home," "Long live the victory of the people's war" versus "Make love not war," were contradictory. What was the goal? The Americans traveled Cuba with their Vietnamese mentors, and there were hours and hours of discussion. Eleanor and the other Americans became focused on taking one message to the masses at home: end the war now. When they returned to the U.S., however, they were informed that their leadership had decided to form small collectives. Their job was not to organize the masses. And I would argue that it was at this point, before the forming of the Weather Underground, before the townhouse bombing, before the manifestos and armed propaganda, before freeing and then being betrayed by Timothy Leary, and before the breakup of WUO, the youth movement for social justice and equality in the United States was doomed. That is, doomed as a movement. While the Vietnamese represented and spoke of a people's movement, people on the ground weren't included in the United States. People in the Weather Underground and the anti-war movement in general were young. We didn't take the lessons that others taught us. We didn't pay attention to how different Fidel and Che's revolution in Cuba was to Che's adventurous foray into Bolivia. We didn't know how to be part of a people's war. My analysis, of course, is only a small part of Ty Jones' book. And the people that he writes about, particularly his parents, Eleanor Stein and Jeff Jones, as well as their Weather Underground comrades, have continued the fight to end class disparity and racism in the United States and throughout the world. Their mistakes, as well as their continuing commitment and passion, offer important lessons, as does Ty Jones' book, A Radical Line. This is Alan Weider for the Old Mole Variety.